We are back, and you're listening to The Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik. I'm your host, Garland Nixon, here with my co-host, Dr. Wilmer Leon.
Thank you, Garland.
The U.S. installed Haitian leadership moves to consolidate the power of the appointed prime minister, both in the country and in the Caribbean region. Joining us now to discuss this and more, we've got Kim Ives. He's a journalist and editor at HaitiLiberté.com. Kim, welcome back to The Critical Hour.
Thanks, Garland. Thanks, Wilmer.
Haiti Liberté. Since Saturday, August 10th, 2024, a delegation from the Caribbean community, CARICOM, called the Group of Eminent Persons, has been in Haiti for a six-day visit. These are the three former prime ministers of the Caribbean, namely Kenny Anthony of St. Lucia, Bruce Golding of Jamaica, and Perry Christie of the Bahamas. Now, certainly this is, we're a little post all of that meeting, so that's all done. But your thoughts on that meeting, Kim Ives?
Well, it's really sad to see CARICOM being used the same way the Kenyans are being used for the military angle as the diplomatic front for Washington to pressure this government, which is already their lackeys. This government they put in, again, for the listeners, the provisional or the temporary presidential council, as they call it, nine-member body, seven of them voting, all basically had to agree to Washington's military intervention into Haiti via Kenya. And then they put in place this former valet of Bill Clinton called Gary Cooney as prime minister. And despite this, despite having complete lackeys in charge, they still feel it necessary to send these Caribbean community group of eminent persons, which is very similar to me to the what they call the Lima Group in Latin America, which again, all the former lackeys who have been put out to pasture, and they bring them in to make a statement or take a position in support of Washington, because the OAS is not really cutting the mustard anymore. So they need to keep bringing all these other sort of pressure groups. So here you have the government completely in line with Washington's wishes, and nonetheless, they need to bring in these CARICOM alumni to put pressure and, you know, say, when are the elections going to be? And
there's a sentence here in this piece. This visit, of course, is part of CARICOM's ongoing efforts to assess the current political climate, support a resolution of the crisis in order to restore political and social stability in Haiti. That doesn't seem, I mean, I think I could pretty much assess the current political climate and I could give them some very clear action to take to restore political and social stability. And that would be stop letting the United States control the process. So this really just seems to be nothing but a dog and pony show,
right?
With no pony. And there's no pony.
Right, no pony, no, not even a ring for the pony. It really goes back to what Jimmy Cherizier said when this CARICOM group was used to shoehorn in this temporary presidential council and Cooney. And he said, who are these little nations? I mean, CARICOM is made up of mostly very small nations. Haiti is 12 million people. Some of these island nations have 100,000 people or 200,000. So there you have, they are the ones who were colonies until 60 years ago. Haiti was the first independent nation of Latin America. And here they are supervising Haiti, coming in and meddling in its sovereign affairs. Let even a puppet government that they put in place, this temporary presidential council, and Gary Cooney, they are not willing to let even the puppets do their work and stay behind the scenes. They have to come and you know, put this pressure. And all of this is in case something goes awry. And that's the big problem, is that this temporary presidential council is so corrupt and is so dysfunctional in its infighting that, you know, they feel they have to kind of keep a foot in the door.
Let me ask you this, Kim. Just kind of an update. We were told that Kenyon was sending in a couple of hundred policemen and that that was going to, you know, quell the disturbances in a country of 12 million. How's that endeavor working out?
Yeah, not working out at all. I mean, they are essentially have had a couple of so-called encounters with the gangs since I think we last talked out in Gantier, which is near the border. But apparently it was, again, mostly just for show. They went in, strutted around a little bit, and then they left. And they didn't do anything. So it was essentially a show confrontation. I think some shots were fired between them and the Vivant Sum alliance, which is basically all the armed groups of the Port-au-Prince region who have gathered together to resist the Kenyan slash U.S. intervention. So there was some shots fired between them, but they didn't take any ground. They didn't hold any ground. They didn't, nothing. Everything went right back to normal. And everybody said, you know, what was that all about? Why the big show? Why all the talk? So yeah, it's not working out. I mean, there are 400 of them, and again, they're paid 10 times more than a Haitian policeman. And most of the time they're spending in their big hangar of a outpost. If you look at the pictures, eating, you know, all the pictures are always of them sitting down to meals. These 400 Kenyans. So it's very, and just one last little thing on it. I have a source who came across the new chief of police, Ramo Normil, who he'd been trying to have a meeting with. And he finally left after the guy didn't show up for 6 hours or something. And walking out, he saw it. And Ramo Normil just put his hands to his head and said, this is too much for me. I can't take it. I can't take it. So basically the effort to put down the uprising of the armed groups, both Kenyans and Haitian police, is not going well.
Is it not going well? Let me put it another way. So I was expecting when the Kenyans landed that there would eventually be this major clash between the Haitians and the Kenyans in the street with machetes and all kinds of bloodshed and violence. This hasn't materialized. Is that because the Kenyans are just staying in a safe zone? Is that because the Haitians have decided another tactic, a combination of the two? Or was I wrong to expect the conflict in the first place?
No, I think eventually there will be something. The Kenyans are anxious to maintain just a defensive position. They want to guard the key installations, the key infrastructure, and they don't want to go much more beyond that. They're leaving it to the cops to really be the ones to go out and try to take on the armed groups. But the police don't even have any ammunition. All the ammunition has been tied up by, you have the INL of the U.S. Embassy, which basically has something like 6 million rounds of ammunition, which is sitting on a pallets somewhere in Miami because they can't get the paperwork and bureaucracy or payment through to get the ammunition delivered. So basically it's and you know what, want to know one of the reasons why they can't? Because they wanted to change it, but because of Ukraine and Gaza and all the ammo they're having to send over there, they don't have enough for Haiti. So, you know, it's just part of the whole stress on this empire, which just doesn't have enough firemen or even enough hoses and water to put out all the fires around the empire.
And it sounds to some extent that as the U.S. wants to, you know, dominate Haiti, they want to put their puppets in. There's a level of incompetence in the U.S. empire, so much so that they're unable to execute their diabolical plans.
Exactly. And they're having to use really the scum, I could say, of the political class. Again, just going back to this temporary presidential council, you have this total scandal, which is still raging, where the three of the council members, three of the seven voting members, three of the nine total members of this presidential council, basically tried to get a bribe, solicit a bribe from the head of Haiti's most successful bank, the National Bank of Credit, BNC, of about $758,000. They were trying to get from him. He wrote a letter to the prime minister complaining and saying, "I fear for my life because these guys are practically criminals," and he got fired. They didn't fire the three guys or put them on some kind of leave as some other members of the council had asked. They fired the bank president.
Just about here. We're just about out of time. We certainly want to thank you. We've been talking with Kim Ives. Kim is a journalist. He's also the editor at Haiti Liberté and a friend of the show. You're listening to The Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik. I'm your host, Garland Nixon. There's another hour on the other side. Stay tuned.